WWN.
6:43 and 64 degrees outside the Apple Tree Automotive Superstore Studios. Good morning. I'm Mark Starling. Welcome into First News on 570. Yesterday, what is being called the deadliest attack on American media in history took place in Maryland. And we want to turn now to Chris Barnes, who is with the Maryland News Network, for an update on kind of what's going on and some information about the area. And Chris, thank you so much for your time this morning. I know we've only got a limited amount of time with you. And if you can just kind of give us an idea of the area that this happened in and just kind of how out of the ordinary this is for this.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark, you know, in terms of the sort of the lay of the land, you know, Annapolis is, you know, as many folks in a state like yours are familiar with, one of those kind of, you know, cities by the water. And there's a section, of course, it's very, you know, extremely the old city, mm-hmm. Where the state house and so forth is, and it's very historical. And then surrounding it, of course, over the years, you've had this sort of kind of a suburbia grow, but it's kind of a small suburban footprint. Right. Right across the street from where these offices are is one of the biggest shopping malls in the area. Mm. So it's a rather busy, you know, kind of a suburban area. It's very upscale. It's not an area that's known for crime in any big way.
Right.
So for anything of this nature to happen was, you know, way off the radar
right. For
anybody that's familiar with that area.
And Chris, the Capital Gazette, I mean, it seems very much to me like a very kind of standard local newspaper for the most part. I mean, these folks were covering crime and politics and the same thing all of our local papers cover.
Right. It's owned by the same larger group. The name escapes me, but it's owned by the same group that owns the Baltimore Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, you know, how newspapers have gone in recent years, they've had to, you know, like our business, it's had to consolidate quite a bit.
Right.
So they're owned by a much larger outfit. But the Capital Gazette, that office in particular, was basically in charge of the Capital Gazette itself. And then it had people that were also in that location working for some of the other smaller community newspapers in the area. A lot of individual towns have their own
right. Little
weeklies and such.
Right.
But apparently the suspect in the shooting had been profiled years ago, not just, I guess, in a news story, but actually referred to in a column
mm-hmm.
after he had been involved in a case where he pleaded guilty to harassing a former high school classmate.
Right.
And apparently he's had a bit of a vendetta against, the police have confirmed this, that they believe he had a vendetta against the newspaper and some of those specific people who ended up being shot because of the way he was portrayed in a column like 7 years ago.
Right. And I understand that, if I'm not mistaken, the reporter that actually wrote the column doesn't even work for the paper anymore.
You're right. There were two involved, and that's true. Neither one of them work for the paper anymore, but they have been interviewed since this tragedy happened, and they said that, you know, in the, you know, weeks and months that followed the story running, they did get a lot of threats, both through social media, and I guess one of them actually ran into him somewhere and was, you know, felt rather threatened by him as well.
Chris, we certainly appreciate your time this morning. I know you've got a lot to do, a lot on your plate, and we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us and giving us a little bit of an insight of kind of the area and what's happening up there now. And we wish you the best, and hopefully next time we chat, it'll be under much better circumstances.
Right. You took the words right out of my mouth, Mark. Anytime you need me, I'm here.
Thank you, sir. We certainly appreciate it.